NBC presents Frank Lovejoy in Night Beat.
Hi, this is Randy Stone. I cover the Night Beat for the Chicago Star. Before I hear people talk excitedly about Chicago nightlife, I know they mean the bright neon signs of Randolph Street or the near North Side. But tonight, I don't know. I'm thinking of another kind of nightlife. 10 million years before they snapped on the first neon sign on Erie Street. Wondering what it felt like to be the first man facing the first sunset. Feeling the air become cold. And seeing the shadows deepen, watching all that gave him security slowly blot away. And leaving him alone, completely alone in a sea of blackness. One man at the mercy of a vast unknown. Yeah, I guess it was Josie that started me thinking about that. First time I saw Josie was around 5 a.m. yesterday. I'd finished my work, and like I usually did, I dropped into the beanery next door, Spivak's All-American Diner, known to the faithful as Heartburn Heaven. And there was this girl sitting with half a dozen coffee cups at a corner table, pretty as those phony plastic steaks Spivak keeps in the window and ripe as one of his better cantaloupes. But at 5 a.m., I'm afraid the big attraction was a gnawing feeling that I'd seen her someplace before. And a funny premonition that, even if I didn't, here was a kid with trouble.
Wasting your time, citizen.
So?
So. He's interested in nothing but Spivak's coffee.
Well, now I am fascinated. I've tasted your coffee. Look, she's leaving.
It's dawn, isn't it? Every night this week, it's been the same. All night, she drinks coffee. At daybreak, she leaves. And nothing remains but a dozen cups with lipstick on the rims.
That night around 7:30, I again passed Spivak's, this time as I left the newspaper to make the rounds. But no need to stop, because on Tuesday, Spivak closes the place and you must seek your hyperacidity elsewhere. Only somebody wasn't seeking it elsewhere.
Open up! Open up!
The same girl rattling the doorknob like she believed neither the sign nor the darkness inside. I went up behind her. He really is... Take it easy.
Why did you sneak up on me like that?
I didn't mean to alarm you. I just wanted to tell you. Every Tuesday, Spivak takes off to play klavyash with his Armenian friends on Grand Avenue.
Oh. I'll find someplace else.
Yeah, you can't do worse than Spivak's if you tried.
You know any all-night restaurants around here?
Must be all-night.
Yeah.
All-night movie on the next block.
No. I mean, someplace where...
Where it's light?
Yeah. Where it's light, Mr. Stone.
I thought we knew each other. This morning I was ready to go into that Vashueva in Milwaukee routine.
Josie Costello. You wrote the story about how my husband, Antonio, was killed.
Oh, sure. The 8 Flying Costellos here in town. A fall from the trapeze about 8-9 months ago.
You got quite a memory.
Famous from coast to coast.
I could make you really famous, Mr. Stone.
Is that so?
I could give you a story that would chase Joe Stalin right off the front page.
What's the trouble, Josie?
No trouble. Everything's fine. Tomorrow's my 3rd wedding anniversary. And to celebrate, Antonio is coming back from the grave.
I took her back upstairs to the office, sat her down, looked at her, trying to think of something to say.
You don't believe me?
Well, of course I don't believe that Antonio's coming back, but I think you believe it.
I didn't at first. Now I do.
Oh, now
he'll be
Josie.
There tomorrow night at 10.
Why exactly 10?
Antonio was always sentimental about things like that. We were married exactly at 10.
Josie, I don't know what's happened, but both of us are a little too old to believe in ghosts. Now, come on.
Will you just listen to me, Mr. Stone? I know you think I'm nuts. I'm beginning to wonder myself, but please, please just listen. I'm willing for you to prove I'm wrong. I'll be tickled pink.
Okay, Josie, convince me Antonio is coming back from the grave.
Are you You don't know those Costellos. Oh, they're really one for the books. I mean, all that sentimental hooey, kissing each other, jabbering that Italian a mile a minute, and them big family dinners. It's a wonder I kept my figure.
You kept it, Josie.
Thanks. But one thing I'll tell you, they're really big time. The seven Costellos. You can't go higher than that.
I thought there were eight Costellos.
You're looking at number eight. Ain't that a scream? Josie Martin, the hunky from the west side of the Windy City. I was a whirling dervish hanging by my teeth. You've seen him, $40 a week and eats. Until Antonio saw me. And fell for me.
Uh-huh.
Hey, did you hear what I said? Fell for me. I guess that's one way of putting it. He fell for me, all right. 60 feet to the sawdust.
Josie, come on.
I'm okay now. I'm sorry. Gee, I'm getting to be a real psycho.
You're frightened. You're upset. You'll be okay.
What odds are you giving?
You were saying about Antonio.
Oh, yeah. Well, after the accident, the family acted like I had the smallpox all of a sudden. They just left without me. So I thought, good riddance to bad rubbish. You go your way, I'll go mine. That was almost a year ago. Then, just Monday, this crazy thing started.
With Antonio?
Yeah. A telegram under my door when I woke up. You know what it said? Darling, just 5 more days and then I'll be home with you for our 3rd anniversary. All my love, Antonio. That's word for word.
Still have the telegram?
No, I gave it to Harry Blake. He's a lawyer. Jerky-looking character, but I hear he's smart. You know him?
Nope.
Well, from then on, every morning I get another telegram telling me how many days left. 4 days, 3 days, 2 days.
Josie, anybody can send a telegram. Except a dead man.
But that's not all. Antonio is preparing for our wedding anniversary like he always did.
Oh, Josie.
Will you just listen, please? Day before yesterday, a ticket agency called me. They wanted to confirm Antonio's order for 2 tickets to the opera Sunday night. The opera. He was always dragging me there. Usually I fell asleep. When I got home this morning, a guy came around trying to deliver some wine, he says Antonio ordered. I got so nervous, I just screamed like a crazy dame. Look at my hands. Did you ever see hands shake like that? Me, who had nerves like iron.
And this lawyer, Blake, he couldn't find a thing?
No. Now he acts like I'm imagining the whole thing.
Josie, don't you get it? Don't you understand? Somebody's pulling a vicious, rotten trick on you. It's happened before, lots of times.
I say it's Antonio. Go ahead, tell me I'm nuts. I don't know how or I don't know why, but I say he's coming back.
And I say whoever is trying to scare you is doing a good job.
Okay, Mr. Stone. Let's find out if somebody's trying to scare me.
Hmm?
I want to believe you. With all my heart, I want to believe you. So let's go back to my apartment and see.
And see what?
In this morning's telegram, Antonio said he'd phone me from wherever he was tonight at 9. O'clock.
We were in Josie's 8th floor apartment waiting for a dead man to phone. I realized that for the last 10 minutes I'd been pacing up and down. I started over for a chair in the corner.
No, please! No, do me a favor. Don't sit there.
Why?
It gives me the willies to see a guy sitting there. Now especially. That was Antonio's favorite chair.
Okay. I'll sit over here.
I'd like to just throw it out. But that'd be dumb. Cost almost $300.
Josie, looks like this ghost of yours isn't going to call after all, doesn't it?
Look, you think all this could be somebody's bright idea of a joke?
Of course that's what I...
No!
Answer it.
I can't.
You've got to. We've... got to find out who's doing this.
I tell you, I can't.
If I answer it, who's ever behind this will hang up. I answer the phone, Josie. Hold the receiver so that I can listen, too.
I'm so scared. So scared. Yeah?
This is Antonio.
No!
I am so anxious to come home. I hope to see...
I won't hear him. I won't.
Josie.
Oh, it won't.
NBC is bringing you Night Beat, starring Frank Lovejoy as Randy Stone. It's the Silver Jubilee on NBC. Tonight you're tuned to Adventure on NBC. First, there's the amazing Mr. Malone with George Petrie as Malone, a hard-hitting, fast-talking criminal lawyer. Next, Herbert Marshall dons the cloak of mystery to grapple with the dark forces of international intrigue as the man called X. Now, here's a program note. This Sunday, be sure to hear Lloyd Nolan as Martin Kane, Private Eye. Your invitation to high adventure with the amazing Mr. Malone, the man called X, and Martin Kane, Private Eye, all heard over this, your NBC station. And now back to Night Beat and Randy Stone.
Now we sat in the big dusty detective room at police headquarters. While Josie told her story to Lieutenant Frazier, a single mosquito fought a losing war against the green gooseneck lamp on the lieutenant's desk. Midnight was a black smear against the big windows.
Look, Mrs. Costello, ghosts. This is the 20th century.
What, are you bragging?
What time is this apparition supposed to appear?
I think tomorrow night at 10 at her apartment.
And that's where she'll be, tomorrow night at 10.
No.
Oh, yes, Mrs. Costello. Only you won't be alone. We'll have a reception committee waiting with you.
I don't think I could stand it.
Well, it's the only way we can help you.
Mr. Stone?
He's right, Josie. Now it was after 3 a.m. and I was prowling Chicago, but I couldn't stop thinking about Josie up in her apartment waiting for Antonio. A nice warm thought to keep me company as I moved through dark streets stretching into nothing. A streetcar rattling by, empty except for a tipsy soldier boy serenading a yawning conductor with a song about home. And the dark house fronts beyond which the good citizens inhaled and exhaled, groaning suddenly as a dream took a turn for the worse. And a red neon bar sign saying, beer, 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 beer. Four old charwomen, tired clumps of flesh walking wearily toward the subway. But somehow tonight it all meant nothing. Somehow tonight all I could remember was that voice I'd heard on the phone.
This is Antonio.
I'd covered the circus story. I'd seen the twisted body of Antonio Costello bleeding in the sawdust.
This is Antonio.
He was dead. I knew he was dead. And the dead sleep forever.
This is Antonio.
I stopped. Oh, now, wait a second, pal. What's with you? Now, aren't you so sure? Oh, don't be ridiculous. All I knew was that I wasn't going to find another story if it came up and bit me. For me, there was only one story to prove that Antonio was dead. I remember the name of the lawyer Josie had hired, Harry Blake. He had a 24-hour listing in the phone book. I found a cigar store still open, closed myself in the phone booth, and called him. The phone rang a long time before he answered.
Yes.
Blake, this is Randy Stone of the Star. I'm calling about Mrs. Costello.
Costello?
Yeah.
Costello. Oh, that neurotic creature, yes.
How about meeting me at your office so we can talk about it?
Drop in around 11 tomorrow or thereabouts. Perhaps we'll have lunch. Hmm?
I'll drop in at 3 a.m. or thereabouts, and we'll have breakfast.
Oh, well, now, you're absolutely mad, dear boy. I couldn't think of it. I'll see you at 11.
Mr. Blake, I think somebody's pulling a fast one on the little lady.
Bourgeois.
What's that?
Bourgeois.
Oh. Well, anyhow, that's what I think. And being a newspaper man, when I think something, I can spread it all over the place.
Newspaper man, huh?
Uh-huh.
Yes, that's right. Well, can you make it 3:30, dear boy?
So at 3:30, I met Harry Blake, counselor at law. A pink little Humpty Dumpty with the bluest eyes this side of heaven. Except now the eyes were pretty heavy.
3:30 in the morning. I should never have started with that ridiculous woman.
Ah, but you did.
Well, she seemed so distraught. It was almost an act of mercy on my part.
Uh-huh. And then, of course, out of the goodness of your heart, you looked into the matter. What did you find?
Zero. Cipher. Not. Nothing, dear boy.
Dear boy. Maybe you better stick to Stone.
Hmm?
Skip it. Tell me one thing. Did you check on this family of her late husband, the Costellos?
Touché.
Touché.
Two great minds working as one, of course. That was my very first thought. Would you like to see what I found, dear boy? Just a moment. I'll show it to you. I have it right here in the files. You know, I really should hate you for dragging me down here like this. Oh, here we are. Yes, take a look at this. An advertisement from the Melbourne, Australia Examiner.
The world-famed Five Flying Costellos featured at the Hippodrome.
And the dates, the dates.
June 30th through July 10th.
There, you see. They're in Australia at this very moment, so they couldn't possibly be involved.
Can I take this with me to show Mrs. Costello?
Well, certainly, but it won't do any good, and this I can assure you.
But, if it isn't them, who is it?
Shall I tell you?
Oh, please do.
It's nobody. It's up here in the lady's head. The lady doesn't need a detective or a newspaper man. She needs a psychiatrist, dear boy.
Yeah, maybe. But then don't we all, a dear boy. So my one little thought vanished into thin air. I wandered back to my office, filled my column with readers' contributions, and then I took off for home. As I reached my place, it started to rain. I couldn't help thinking Antonio could have chosen a better day to come back from the grave. In my room, I set the alarm for 8, but I only had eyes for that 10. Now, just what if he did come back from the dead? Couldn't you just see it? Winchell would say he predicted it 6 weeks ago. A parade down Broadway with ticker tape and all the trimmings, personal appearance on Milton Berle, whole music number built around the theme. Wasn't he brave to return from the grave? Russia would protest it was all a capitalist plot. Oh, no. Oh, brother, you're really tired, Randy boy. Go to sleep. Go to sleep. At first, I wasn't sure what had awakened me, but my heart was going a mile a minute. I looked at the luminous hands on the clock, 8:05. As I was just starting to reach for it to shut off the alarm, I saw him. A dark figure over near the dresser, barely visible by the square of yellow transom light. He was searching for something on the dresser. I crept from the bed, and I eased across the floor, closer, closer. And then I lunged. Lunged, smunged, I should have stood in bed. This lad had muscles he didn't even know about. As the square of light from the transom started going into a slow spin, way in the back of my mind, I started remembering that gag about the little sparrow caught in a badminton game. Sparrow, make room for a friend. And then the square of transom light was joined by a bigger square of door light, and then I was all alone in the room, which was perfectly okay with me. And after a decent interval, I crawled to my feet and staggered to the dresser, snapped on the lamp to see the damage. The damage was all to me. My wallet was open, but the money wasn't touched. All the drawers in the dresser were pulled out, but nothing was missing. Well, let the experts worry about it. Oh, my back. Give me the police. Wait a minute, miss. Never mind. I suddenly realized there was something missing, and I didn't want the police in on this just yet. A few minutes after I started pounding on the door, the peephole opened, and one large blue eye looked out at me. And then the door swung open.
Oh, my dear, 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 dear boy, look at you. What happened?
I couldn't find a cab, so I came over in a cement mixer. Look, Pinky.
Pinky?
I'm going to get real dramatic. I'm going to give you 5 seconds, one for each of the Flying Costellos in Australia.
Hmm?
And then you're going to tell me where I can locate Costello number 6, or I'm going to do terrible things to those blue eyes.
Well, I don't understand you.
Sure you do. He must have been pretty angry when he found out you gave me the clipping. The seconds are racing by, Pinky.
Now, let's not act like savages.
That might be fun. Where is he?
I haven't the slightest...
Now, you cry real nice, Pinky. He found out you were helping Mrs. Costello, so he came to you with a better offer. Is that it?
No, I...
That's when you decided she was nutty in the hen, huh? Where is he? Where is he? This gets in the blood, Pinky. You better tell me.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
After a while, he stopped saying yes, 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 and he gave me an address. It was room 206 in the Florentine Hotel. A little place on a side street in the Italian district of Chicago. 5 minutes of 10 when I got there, and the rain was coming down hard. I went up a flight of stairs that smelled of olive oil and good cheese and garlic that didn't care what happened. And then down a hallway toward room 206. 204, 20... I couldn't see the number on the door that should have been 206 because the door was wide open. And an old man was standing in the doorway.
Good evening, sir. Please come in.
I'm looking for a fellow named Philip Costello.
You have found him.
You?
Mr. Blake, just the phone. He's said to expect you.
You're the one who busted into my room and broke me in half?
I'm sorry. It was just... I realized at once that Josie sees the newspaper story. She's about to know everything. Okay, come in, sir. I've been very, very bad. Like Mama says, with me is all emotion. It's very little up here in the head.
Between us, and believe me, it won't go any farther. How old are you, Mr. Costello?
Between us, 66.
Oh, brother, tip-top shape, that's me.
More than 50 years on the trapeze to give a man strength.
Why have you been doing this to Josie? Now, the truth. Tell me.
I was so sure in my heart that she's murdered my Antonio.
Murdered Antonio? Why?
Mr. Stone, all of us, my whole family, except Antonio, as we know how tired she was of him. Of his whole family, his ways.
But Antonio's death, that was an accident.
This what annoyed me, knowing. Was it an accident?
But what else?
Antonio, he says she must join the act. She must swing him at the crossbar for his triple somersault. All right, all right. For 2 years we train her. The triple somersault. That was the great moment of our performance. Antonio's moment. For this, I trained him since he was a little tiny fellow, 8 or 9 years old. But on that one night, I look and I close my eyes for a single second. It all come rushing back. It was so real.
Magnificent Antonio and his unbelievable world-famous triple somersault while blindfolded, 60 feet above the arena and without a net, ladies and gentlemen.
And now, our Antonio's leap so graceful from the takeoff platform, swinging out under the crossbar, and in our hearts we all begin to count. One. Higher and higher, he's going to great the flashing arch. Two, his smile of confidence under the blindfold is meant for Josie, who stands on the other platform, waiting to send him the second across the bar. Three, all over the stadium, everyone's heart is thundering with the drums. Higher and higher swings Antonio. Four, his hands leave his bar. He's beginning to somersault over and over and over. Every face is turned upward. Five. Now his arms reach out for the other crossbar. Josie's. Six. His fingers claw the air. The bar is an instant late. And then there's a roar like a train rushing at you. The crowd is on its feet, screaming because Antonio's falling. That is what I see when I close my eyes, Mr. Stone.
Yeah.
And for almost a year now, it has tortured me. Why? Why was it the crossbar late? We trained her so careful. Why was it late?
And then you decided she'd done it deliberately. You thought if you frightened her enough, she'd confess.
This is what I thought.
Well, you frightened her. This I can guarantee. You frightened her until she's just about out of her mind. But she hasn't confessed a thing, Mr. Costello.
This I know.
Well, doesn't that make you think perhaps you've been wrong? Maybe she has nothing to confess?
Mr. Stone,
you said yourself you trained Antonio for his act since he was 9. That you've been 50 years at it. Maybe 2 years wasn't long enough for Josie.
2 years is nothing on a trapeze.
Then it could have been an accident.
I suppose.
Mr. Costello, I'd been with her when she was as frightened as a human being can be, and she had nothing to confess. You've done a very terrible, shameful thing, Mr. Costello.
My son, my wife, they also tell me this.
Yeah.
You call the police, sir?
I'm calling Josie so you can tell her how sorry you are.
See, she's best.
10:10. I don't want to think what she's gone through up in that apartment.
I'm very sorry, sir.
You know the voice. I can figure out how you did everything except the voice.
He's no difficult. My children don't have the time for education. Still, they want to be a good American. Speak a good language. Antonio, even more, after he married Josie.
Why doesn't she answer? Yes, go ahead.
So, wherever he's go, he's spend much money on machines that make record of the voice. My wife, everything of the children, she keeps the records, too.
She doesn't seem to be home. I don't get it.
Hello. Fraser talking.
Oh, Lieutenant Fraser, it's Randy Stone.
Oh. Heard about it, huh?
Heard about what?
Mrs. Costello. She leaped to her death 10 minutes ago.
Ten minutes later, I was standing with Fraser at the broken window in Josie's apartment. He was telling me how she'd been alone in the front room and how they'd heard her scream, Antonio, and then some crazy stuff about, forgive me, forgive me. And then before anyone could reach her, she'd thrown herself through the window. As the lieutenant talked, I watched the red warning flare sputtering on the wet sidewalk and the few curious citizens still standing in the rain. Made me feel kind of sick, and I turned my back on it just as the lieutenant was explaining that her fear must have finally driven her insane. Well, I suppose he's right. At least for the records, he's right. Only I do sort of wonder about one thing. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I have the greatest respect for the 20th century and all that, but I can't help wondering why that chair Josie wouldn't let me use, Antonio's chair, was just a little muddy, as though whoever had been sitting there had dragged himself a very long way through the rain. Copy, boy.
Night Beat, starring Frank Lovejoy, is produced and directed by Warren Lewis. Tonight's story was written by Larry Marcus, with music by Robert Armbruster. The part of Josie was played by Joan Banks. Others featured in tonight's cast were Bill Conrad, Bill Johnstone, Nestor Paiva, and Richard Benedict. Frank Lovejoy will next be seen in Warner Brothers' Force of Arms. Listen next week at this time and every week as Randy Stone searches through the city for the strange stories waiting for him in the darkness. Night Beat came to you from Hollywood. It's the Silver Jubilee on NBC.